Sometimes we say it's the little things that make a big difference in our lives. Unfortunately, living in a pandemic has meant the loss of some of our favorite simple pleasures. Our next guest asked Twitter what small pleasures people miss the most from life before the pandemic. And we asked around Wisconsin Public Media and our colleagues as well. Here are a few of their thoughts. Colleen Leahy, producer on The Morning Show, says, I miss having reasons to wear something other than pajamas. I'm not someone who really puts a lot of effort into my clothes or hair or makeup, but I miss even that small amount I did try when I had reasons to try. Colleen says, I also really miss going out and dancing and going to coffee shops to read and write. And Aubrey Ralph, radio operations manager, says, I miss being able to try on clothes at thrift stores. We go most weekends. Yes, we can return things that don't fit, but it's not the same. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What small pleasure do you miss? An old routine or a monthly outing you used to do? The Friday night fish fry, daily commute? And have you found new small pleasures to replace them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kristen Radke is the art director and deputy publisher of The Believer. She's the author of the graphic nonfiction book Imagine Wanting Only This and the forthcoming book Seek You, A Journey Through American Loneliness. Kristen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
What got you started thinking about these small pleasures and then asking people on the internet?
Yeah, I remember I turned to my husband and just said one day and just said, I miss everything. And I feel like there's this, you know, this sense that there's so many big things to grieve. And it's so important that we pay attention to those really major things that are happening and the major losses that people are having in their families and in their job lives. But I also think it's okay to sort of talk about and mourn the little things that we miss, like the commutes or, you know, getting a glass of wine after work or any of those like small pleasures that we really enjoy in the before times, as I call it. So I just posted it on Twitter and asked what people miss. And I was so surprised by kind of how robust the answers were.
Before we get some more into the answers, maybe some of your own examples, it seems like the big stuff, the graduation ceremony, that kind of
right.
thing, we notice. That's front and center. Do these small things kind of, I don't know, sneak up on us? We don't really notice that they're gone until we think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the one thing I really miss doing is sometimes after work, I would go to the library and just read for a half an hour. And I'd run into people that I knew. And it was such like a great pleasure to sort of just wander in and see people that I knew. And then I would walk down the street and drink a martini and eat a taco. And it was just the most simple pleasure that I just can't do anymore.
That library one comes up a lot. Clarissa Johnson in our audience service department says a routine she misses is going to the local library, grabbing some books, and then reading them at a nearby coffee shop with a latte. There's a common theme, it seems like. What were some of the other kinds of responses you got when you posted this online, Kristen?
Well, it was interesting because there were things that I hadn't even thought to miss. And now I'm like, oh, man, I miss that so much. Like someone said that they missed going to a new bar or restaurant and checking out the bathroom, which is such a weird, funny thing. But it's like, yeah, I miss. It's like those little experiences that you have. Or a lot of new parents were talking about how they were sort of nostalgic for memories that never happened because they had plans to things to do with their kids that they never ended up doing. And I think it's so interesting how there's a way we can sort of be nostalgic for memories that aren't realized.
Are there things you've found, Kristen, that, you know, are new small pleasures, new routines you've managed to, if not replace the old ones with, at least replace some of what they did in your life?
Well, I think it's about being intentional with my time. I think there's a way like a whole day can just sort of evaporate in front of you, particularly when you're working from home. For those of us who are working from home right now, and then someone mentioned on your team mentioned having a reason to put on clothes. Like it is sort of that, you know, that sort of like endless monotony, like the eternal sameness. So I do try to find ways to like punctuate that time. You know, I make like a really nice glass of or a cup of tea or something like that. Like I try to find like the really little luxuries that I can enjoy.
We're talking to author Kristen Radke about small pleasures in our lives, the ones we've maybe lost, not been able to do during the pandemic, and maybe little ways to replace them in the meantime so we can go back to some of that normal stuff. How about you? Is there something, a little thing, maybe not the big stuff, a little thing that you miss being able to do every week, maybe even every day? Call 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You mentioned the commute, which I think a lot of people don't necessarily think of that as something they would miss. Our own Maureen McCollum, host and producer of Wisconsin Life, says, I miss watching the houses go by from the bus and seeing random people walking on the street. I miss awkward eye contact with people on the bus. Miss the bus drivers and their personalities. And most importantly, this is all caps, I miss seeing Rob Ferret get on my bus. That's me, Maureen. Thank you for saying that. And yeah, that thing that we probably took for granted, maybe didn't even think of it as a small pleasure. I miss, you know, reading on the bus on some of those commutes, for example. I wouldn't have thought I would miss that much.
Yeah, I think it's one of, you know, some of the things we saw as annoyances, like how can we cut our commute time down? Or oh, it's so annoying that I have this long commute. But now it's like those were signposts for how to get through the day. And they were little rituals and routines. And like we are often creatures of routine, and it's how we feel safe. It's how we feel comfortable.
One thing I really miss, I'm in a band. I would love to go and play a show at a bar again sometime. It's easy to social distance at my band shows. Not a lot of people show up. These are not the kind of bars where you're generally eager to see what the bathroom looks like either. But it's, I really, really miss that. If you gave me one, you know, free pass to do something and promised it would be safe, that would probably be at the top of my list. Do you have something like that? If I could give you blanket immunity and you wouldn't be spreading germs, and I could promise it, that you would really just do as a one-off?
I think it's just the ordinary everydayness of, you know, being able to walk into a bookstore or a library or go to a restaurant with a friend, like those just really small pleasures. I will say, you asked earlier about kind of what are those replacement things. I'll say that I didn't know that many people in my neighborhood before the pandemic. And now I feel like we chat almost every day when we're outside. And we, you know, we traded plants all summer and stuff like that. Like there was an opportunity to connect because we were all kind of stuck that I didn't have before.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Kenosha. Chris, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Chris?
So I work as a railroad conductor, and we do a mix of freight and passenger trains in my lines. And lately, I've been only hoping to catch freight trains when we get called, because the passenger service, we don't interact with passengers anymore, and it's miserable.
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't think of that. You feel like it's you make good connections with people while they're riding the rails with you?
Right. Like, so we did. If I caught a regular job for a week, I'd have my regular passengers by the end of the week talk about plans for the weekend. What are they doing? If you grab a beer of some, if they're really cool. And then also in Chicago, they could, if they needed help, I could tell them where to go. And there's no tourists either. So there's really, even if I was in the train car, it's still not worth talking to anybody because no one's there.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much for sharing that. Well, Chris is on the other side of that commute, I guess, by train in this case. But yeah, missing customers, missing the people you interact with regularly at a workplace, Kristen.
Yeah, and it does seem like what I heard there was the regularity, the familiarity of it. Like there is something so comforting about seeing people again and again, and they become a part of the fabric of your day.
Thanks a lot for that call, Chris. We'll go to Anna now in Richland Center. Anna, hello.
Hi, I just wanted to say I live about an hour away from my sister, and we used to meet up fairly frequently, and she would cook me a really, really great home-cooked meal, and then we would go out thrifting, and I haven't been able to spend as much time with her, and I really, really miss that.
Have you been able to do any, at least virtual, to get-togethers, Anna?
Well, actually, one thing that we have been doing is going to Governor Dodge State Park, where we can hike together, so that's one thing that we also enjoy doing. I just miss having the home-cooked meal from her.
Oh, I hear that. That definitely. Are you going to try to keep the hiking going as long as you can with the weather?
Yeah, we went last week, and it was not the greatest weather. I don't think it'll work out this week, but we try.
All right. Well, good luck, Anna, and I hope you can find ways to hang out with your sister. Yeah, those regular meetups, Kristen, people are trying to replace them as best they can, but that's tough with a family member or a friend maybe living nearby.
Absolutely, especially with the weather getting colder. I mean, I think we sort of had these replacements where you could maybe sit on their stoop or their porch or take a walk, and it's going to be trickier to find those substitutes.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Kristen Radke, art director at The Believer, about small pleasures from our pre-pandemic lives that we miss. She raised the question on Twitter, got a lot of interesting responses there, and we want to hear your responses, more of them. Call in at 800-642-1234. What small pleasure or routine from life before the pandemic do you miss? Do you find yourself missing things that seemed maybe insignificant? You didn't really think about them beforehand. And are there things that you've done to replace it? New small pleasures you've added to your routine? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about some of the small things we miss from life before the pandemic. A hangout at a coffee shop, riding public transportation, visiting the local library. What's yours? Call in at 800-642-1234. What is a ritual, a small thing you miss being able to do? What small pleasure do you miss the most? Have you added something new to your routine that gives you a little, you know, a little boost from day to day or week to week? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kristen, I know you are interested in loneliness. We've talked to you about that. You're writing a book on it. What kind of concerns do you have months into this pandemic right now when it comes to, you know, kind of a lonely society sometimes anyway?
It's a great question, and it's an important one. And I don't even know how to answer it because it feels so insurmountable. I mean, loneliness is out of control right now. I felt like before the pandemic, loneliness was something we didn't talk about very often, sort of socially. Like, we were maybe afraid to admit that we were lonely or when we felt lonely. And there was a little bit of a stigma behind it. But now, isolation has been imposed upon all of us collectively, all at once. So I do feel like maybe the one benefit is that we're kind of able to talk to each other about maybe feeling disconnected, and maybe that will create more opportunities for us to reach out. But it's so difficult right now to maintain those connections.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Daryl is with us in Toma. Daryl, hi.
Hi, Rob. Hey, I just wanted to call and say that I miss our 4-H club. And getting together monthly with all the kids and having our kids and work through their projects over the summer. We've had a lot of programs and learning planned for our group this year, and everything got canceled. And it was really kind of a letdown for the entire group and club.
Oh, I bet. Are you finding ways that they can do some of the awesome projects kind of on home and maybe, I don't know, check in by phone or online?
You know, we tried a virtual group meeting with all of the kids, and with, you know, we've got a very young group of small kids, and it didn't work out very well. You know, it feels like it's been 6 months since even our leaders have been able to get together and make some plans. So we've just recently been able to have some contact and discuss what our upcoming, you know, plans are for the next couple months. And so we've planned some, you know, virtual projects. Until we can get together as a group again.
All right. Well, good luck. Here's hoping that can happen sooner rather than later, Daryl. Thanks a lot. Now, those organizations that we join, whether we're kids in 4-H or grown-ups, in the Friends of the Library or whatever, it's hard to get out and join and do those things now, Kristen, and they can be a big part of our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, you asked about loneliness, and things like groups and clubs are a major way, I think, that we feel connected to community. It's one of the, a lot of people talk about that who attend church frequently. It becomes sort of like a social gathering as well.
Thanks for the call, Daryl. We got an email from Anne in Madison who says, Anne misses salad bars, being able to pick out a rainbow of what they like. They don't want to purchase a fridge full of produce. Yeah, especially for people cooking for one or two, I think buying the whole head of this and the whole package of that can be a lot. And yeah, salad bars, off the table at grocery stores and restaurants, it seems like. What were some of the other little things like that that you heard from people, whether on Twitter or I imagine chatting with people, Kristen?
I think one of the things that I heard a lot was a sort of longing for the surprise or the unexpected, which I think kind of relates to the food, as well. I think a lot of us are just eating a sort of more I don't know, the food we eat is a little more similar every day because we're not going out. We're not, you know, we're not going to the salad bar, but it is sort of that, because we're all sort of trapped now in these sort of linear paths, there's not a lot of opportunity for like happy accidents or, for a day to sort of be unexpected or for you to leave the house thinking you're going to do one thing and then be gone for 5 hours and all of these other things might happen because you run into a friend or decide to go check out something. You know, there's really none of that unexpected right now.
Now, we got a comment when we asked around WPR from Jana Rose Schleiss, who's actually answering your phone calls right now at 800-642-1234. She says she misses her walk to work and her walk home. It was a way to decompress from the day. And she says, I still go on walks, but it's not the same. Walking home at the end of the workday allowed me to be surrounded by people, those in the neighborhood walking their dogs, others like me who took the Shoelace Express home. Yeah, I've tried to make the most out of getting out and walking around the same places again and again, but it can be, you know, after a few months of that, it can start to wear thin, Kristen.
And it can be a little strange. Like it almost feels purposeless. I mean, I love to go out and walk. I do so almost every day, but it's like, okay, am I going to walk to that tree now? Or am I going to go see like the other bush? You know, it's like sort of everything is the same, you know, it's like it feels like we're just on a track or something.
Yeah, I am in normal life. I like to walk with a purpose. Often that purpose is some sort of caloric intake at the other end of the walk or caffeine or something like that. And yeah, it took me a while to get used to just sort of, I guess, ambling. And,
right.
You know, like was hard for you too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I actually would make it a daily, I mentioned a tree. I would be like, let's go look at the leaves on the tree. Have the leaves on the tree changed? Like, you know, suddenly you're kind of looking at these really small things because that's the really only unchanging thing. I mean, there is a sort of pleasure you can maybe take in that. You maybe are paying closer attention to the small details.
We're talking about the small pleasures in life that a lot of people are missing during the pandemic. Not the big stuff, but those little things that maybe it slowly grew on you that you missed them. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. Author Kristen Radke with us. Back to your calls now. Carol is with us in De Pere. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I'm calling to say that I really miss my singing sisters. I'm in a group called the Chantels out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we would sing for senior groups as well as a concert at Christmas time church groups that the main goal was to earn money or food donations for food pantries at our holiday concert. And it's just really sad to miss that beautiful music. Oh. I enjoyed the practices weekly and then the concerts. So
that's a hard one, Carol. Are you keeping up with singing at least at home, I hope?
Lots of humming and a little bit of singing that's recorded for church. But the other group, we hope to get back together maybe next spring.
Well, good luck. And thank you for doing that as a service for people. That is wonderful. Thanks for calling in, Carol. Now, speaking of little pleasures that I've found that I enjoy more than I used to, Kristen, watching people perform online, especially if it looks like they're having a lot of fun doing their music. That is a fun thing. And I hope, Carol, maybe we'll share something online or watch other people singing. Have you found that kind of thing that's like, I wasn't into this before, but now it's cool?
Definitely. You know, I've noticed a couple of musicians who aren't able to maybe make the money in their normal way that they usually do by playing shows, who've now started like recording songs for you for special occasions. Like you can tell them information about your friend for their birthday and they'll write a birthday song for them or something like that, which is really charming.
Thanks a lot for that call, Carol, and good luck. Lizzie joins us now in Madison. Hi, Lizzie.
Hi. My son shared something with me the other day that I found very interesting about this time working from home with two teenagers who are going to school virtually. And he said, Mom, I miss home. Home was a place I came to after work where it was my place with my family. And I could do things that I didn't involve work, but now my desk is my work. Things I like to do at my desk when I'm at home, I get confused, and it's not a place that I can come home to. It's a place that's says work.
Lizzie, thank you so much. Wow, what an interesting story, Kristen, that I imagine a lot of people are going through right now, that blurring of the boundaries between home space and workspace.
Totally. There's no division between work and life. Like how do you transition from, especially if you're maybe working at your kitchen table or something like that, how do you transition from, you know, a conference call into dinner and kind of decompress? You're still in that work brain. Like, how do you decide when to close the computer? But even so, it's like when your office is your home, is the place you sleep, is the place you eat, is the place you, you know, watch TV. It's confusing. And it does sort of dilute the boundaries.
Thanks a lot for that call and for sharing that. Time for one more caller, Margo, with us in Menominee. Margo, hi.
Hi, Rob. I got a dog.
Yes.
Pandemic. Yes. And he's a Lhasa Apso, and he's a senior dog because I'm a senior woman, and we both kind of take things slow, and he's taking me on walks, and I'm taking him on walks, and yeah, it's good. It's a good thing.
Margo, thank you so much. Well, that can point us toward maybe an upbeat ending, Kristen. It's an opportunity to maybe try to find something new or someone new in this case with Teddy the Lhasa Apso.
Yeah, and it also, we were talking about sort of the aimless walks. There is a real purpose when you're walking with the dog.
Yeah, there's no aimlessness. The dog can set the agenda there.
Yeah.
Thank you for that call. And Kristen, good to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
You too. Thanks for having me.
That's Kristen Radke, art director and deputy publisher of The Believer, author of the nonfiction book Imagine Wanting Only This. We talked with her about remembering small pleasures from pre-pandemic life. You can read her tweet about that at WPR.org/Central Time. It's been a long 7 months since the COVID-19 pandemic began here in the U.S. In the early weeks of the outbreak, many communities restricted movement and public gatherings to slow the spread of the disease. As the weather got warmer and our isolation caught up with us, a lot of people engaged in potentially risky social behavior, in some cases going to bars or gatherings that allowed the virus to spread further. When numbers went back up, some public health experts said new stay-at-home orders might be needed. But our next guest says that teaching people to socialize smarter may be a better way to balance the spread of the virus and the need for social contact, especially in the fall and winter months. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How has COVID-19 impacted how you socialize? Will you be changing your habits as the number of cases rise here in the state? What questions do you have about socializing safely? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Jason Bay is a medical director at Prealize Health and an internist. He recently wrote an opinion piece about safer socializing for STAT. Dr. Bay, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, Dr. Bay, we've seen cases rising here in Wisconsin. On and off, we hear calls for more, you know, stay-at-home orders or lockdowns. I understand Ireland has a pretty restrictive order coming in. You've made the case in that piece I mentioned included that stricter lockdowns can actually backfire. Why is that?
Well, I think the first thing that I wanted to say is that I think lockdown in the beginning of the pandemic in March and April, when we didn't know much about the virus and how it spread, actually did an effective job, stopping and slowing the spread of the virus. I think what ended up happening was that the conversations around, reopening the economy and reopening the business around really June and July happened really without much guidance on how to go back to socializing once this lockdown is eased. And what we end up seeing, in places like Wisconsin and in rest of the U.S. and Europe is that, people then start to interact with each other in a way that they used to, pre-COVID-19, gathering in large groups indoors, and that really does prompt this, resurgence of virus that we see. So I think, I think lockdowns in strategic places are effective, but I think it is, we can't just do a lockdown and then going back to reopening the economy, right? We need somewhere, some measures in between, really helping people socialize safely and really spread or stop the spread of the virus without preventing people from socializing with each other entirely.
And you are inspired with your suggestions for safe socializing by movements toward safe sex, public health efforts along those lines. How so?
Yeah, so I think, you know, when I was thinking about the need to be social, and I was really thinking about other public health kind of issues around this, you know, when do we really trying to, you know, educate people on something that is so inherent in human needs, right? And I think sexual desire is one of them. And, you know, what public health tells us is that, or at least the science behind sexual education is that when we teach teenagers, especially to, hey, you know, don't have sex, you know, wait until, you know, marriage or whatnot, what we end up seeing is that you know, abstinence only approach is really not effective. What science tells us repeatedly is that, you know, when we teach people, when we teach people comprehensive sexual education, which really covers us, you know, sexually transmitted diseases, how to properly use condom, and how to engage in those sexual practices safely, that's when we really see the curtailing of risky sexual behaviors and sexually transmitted disease and unwanted pregnancy. So, you know, I thought there was a good parallel to learn from that, from the sexual health education.
Talking to Dr. Jason Bay, an internist, about safer socializing during COVID-19, some smart decisions and choices, he says, that could actually have an impact on the spread of the disease. So if we're going to recognize Dr. Bay, as I think most people do, that there is value in socializing with other people, what are the first things we should think about when we judge this thing is maybe safer than that other thing?
Yeah, so I'll give you a brief overview of how the virus is transmitted, because I think it will be really good for the listeners of the WPR to have that information to contextualize what I'm about to kind of suggest. So, you know, what we know is that most transmissions seem to really happen via droplets between people who are in close proximity. You know, that, and this droplets are released when people are talking or just simply breathing or coughing. And, you know, we are also understanding there's a role for these aerosols, which are these tiny air particles that float in the air for hours at a time, which is especially problematic in indoors with poor air circulations. And, you know, science tells us that these are the two major ways that the virus is transmitted. You know, so when I think about, you know, COVID-19 risk, I came up with this mnemonic of A, B, C, D, E, F of the COVID-19 risk. So I'll go through those, which is, yeah. You know, A stands for airflow, B stands for body, C stands for closeness, D stands for duration, E stands for epidemiology, and F stands for face coverings. So, you know, airflow, you know, we understand, we know that the outdoor is much safer because there's a lot of air circulation. You know, and the outbreaks are rare in outdoor settings, and ventilation and getting the fresh air is very, very critical. So, you know, anytime you're thinking about gathering, think about how can we, you know, if the weather allows, you know, can you go outside and hang out outdoors? Or if you're indoors, is there a way to increase the airflow, whether by cracking open the window and getting a sweater on or a jacket on or even putting some air purifiers in? And then in terms of B, bodies, you know, how do we decrease the number of people in the social interaction? Can you go with maybe one or two other households rather than, you know, inviting 20, 30 people, right? C stands for closeness. So really, can you, you know, allow enough space between people so that they're not within the 6 feet of each other and they're able to practice that, you know, physical distancing of 6 feet. And then D is for duration. So obviously more time you spend together, the higher the risk of getting the virus, right? So can you have a shorter gathering than a longer gathering? And E really stands for epidemiology, which is, you know, locally what's happening. And we know in Wisconsin, you know, I'm looking at the daily cases is really approaching 4,000 to 5,000 cases. It's really exploding. So, you know, when there are cases going up, when there are a large number of cases, locally, you know, are you able to delay your your social activity until the virus is, you know, more under control. And F obviously stands for face covering. So, you know, is it possible for all the members who are present at your social gathering to wear the mask? And this kind of can be problematic if you're, you know, hosting dinners indoors, right? Or people are drinking. It's really difficult for people to wear a mask consistently. So, you know, when we really think about A, B, C, D, E, F, I think it would be helpful to really go through each of these components and say, hey, in each of these, how can I lower the risk associated with this by, you know, really, you know, moving the lever on each of these.
We're talking about how to socialize safely during the pandemic with Dr. Jason Bay, internist and medical director at Prealize Health. He wrote about this in Stat, and you could join us at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about socializing safely during the fall and winter months in particular? What steps have you taken, if any, to socialize safely? Have you tried establishing a pod or bubble, a small group of people or families? What challenges have you faced socializing through the spring and summer? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Share your creative solution. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk about steps we can take to socialize smarter and more safely during the pandemic. Our guest is Dr. Jason Bay, internist and medical director at Prealize Health. He recently wrote a piece about this for Stat, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found new and different and safer ways to socialize with friends and family over the last 6 months or so? What are you looking at in the winter months? Do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Joy is with us in West Bend. Joy, hi.
Hi, thanks. We have a daughter who lives, an adult daughter who lives like 35 miles away in Milwaukee. And so we have visited outside with our masks on, and we have gone to park to walk and that kind of thing. We've done Skype visits and see her when she comes to church on Zoom. But what we really miss is hugging. So, you know, we've heard that there was somebody who designed a frame to put a piece of plastic on, and then you could really hug each other with a piece of plastic between you. How effective would that be?
Joy, thanks for the call. First of all, Dr. Bay, it sounds like Joy and her family are being really smart, and all those things she described, they fit your A, B, C, D, E, F pretty well. But what about the hugging?
Hey, Joy, I just wanted to congratulate you first on you know, being so thoughtful around your interactions with your daughter. So, you know, I think hugging and physical touch is such an important part of how we connect with each other. And the Infectious Disease Society of America actually had a snippet about this exactly. I think, you know, hugging for a short period of time with hand hygiene as well as wearing a mask is pretty safe. If you, you know, really think about how the virus is spread, it's close contact between people, but usually those contacts needs to be for, you know, at least 5 or 10 minutes. So hugging for, you know, a couple seconds with after having washed hands with the mask on properly, I think is pretty low risk. And if you want to, you know, add an additional layer of protection on top of that, I think that will make it even safer. But you know, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be so afraid to, you know, hug your daughter, you know, once in a while. I think that's a good idea.
Joy, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. I wanted to ask Dr. Bay, as you've mentioned, we've got winter coming here. That's going to make the A part of your A, B, C, D, E, F, the airflow harder. You know, the outside meeting isn't going to sound as fun, or garage or porch. We're not going to throw our windows wide open. Can we help balance that out by making sure we pay more attention to the other parts of your ABCs?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just heard that there was the winter storm warning that was that was on in place right before we I got on. So yeah, it's certainly a challenge. So the way I think about you know, COVID-19 risk indoors is really a couple of things. One is, where is the source of the virus, right? How can we control the source, and how can we also manage the virus once in the air, right? So really having people wear masks inside, especially if it's the people that's outside of your household, is going to be the most effective thing in terms of not having these particles floating in the air. So, obviously that's, making sure having that conversation with people you're inviting, if appropriate, and say, hey, we want you to wear a mask and we're going to enforce it, and making sure that happens. And then two, having less people involved for a shorter time, obviously, in terms of the B and D of the ABCDEF. And the last thing is, if you can introduce some type of airflow, even if it's just a couple of windows cracked open slightly, right? And having people wear a jacket or sweater, I think that would certainly decrease the risk of the COVID-19 risk, even though it may not eliminate it entirely.
In our last minute or so, I want to pivot to something else you wrote that I've heard from other healthcare professionals on the show, a concern that people are avoiding necessary medical care for fear of catching COVID, not making that emergency room visit with signs of a possible heart attack or stroke, or getting vaccines for their kids. We need to keep doing some of that stuff, because that's right now important stuff, even amid COVID, right?
Well, absolutely. So, I work in urgent care, and I, what I tell my patients and my family members is that I actually feel safer going to work into a hospital building than sometimes going to a grocery store, because in this hospital or clinic buildings, the masks are very well enforced, and oftentimes they actually screen for symptoms of COVID and make sure those folks are isolated. And then what we know is that the cancer screening numbers are down, vaccinations are down, the heart attack numbers are up. So, I think the if you need to see a doctor, if you need to get a lab done for your chronic medical disease, if you need to get any of your routine medical care done, then I don't think you should feel fear about COVID-19 to prevent you from getting those things, because I think the potential benefit and harm ratio really weighs towards getting that needed medical care.
Dr. Bay, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Jason Bay is medical director at Prealize Health and an internist. He joined us today to talk about how we can socialize safely during the pandemic, especially as we head into the cooler winter months.